Hello, Mama. I hope your day is glorious. I'm sitting staring out like a cloudy day. My heater's blasting on me, and I'm excited to be here with you. I'm so excited to continue our series on suffering. I know it's some heavy stuff, but I've just already heard such great feedback that it's been so much of what many of you are needing. And I get it. Like, this season of motherhood holds a lot of suffering. You know, there's so much joy and there's so many good things. And it's, you know, what we prayed for so long, which we're going to talk about. But it also holds a lot of overwhelm and anxiety sometimes. And lots of decisions, like decision fatigue constantly, and just so many things we're holding, so much worry or concern about our kids and them being healthy and strong. And gosh, there's just so many layers of it, let alone the other crises that come with life, right? Sickness and death and being betrayed and, you know, whatever else big crises might come. And then you kind of stack that on top of an already heavy life. And there you are in a season of suffering. And so that's what we're going to dive into today, is going through our series some more about how to suffer well, whether you are suffering because of just the heaviness of motherhood, or because there's something, you know, a trauma or a crisis going on. All of it, we can still learn to suffer well in. All of it God wants to use for our good. All of it, there is so much waiting for us. And so wherever you're at, you're not exempt from this conversation. If you feel like some days you're in the midst of suffering, then this is for you. Because even if it's not a whole season for you, even the days that feel like suffering, you know, maybe it's sick kids, maybe you're sick, we can still, you know, choose to do those moments well or not well. And so if we can learn to suffer well, even in the little moments, it's also going to help train us to suffer well in the bigger seasons and bigger times where those big things come up, because they will. This world is broken, and sin has taken its toll. So suffering is inherent to all of us. So get excited. I talk about so many heavy, dark things, and then I'm like, get excited. But truly, there is excitement here, and that's coming from me. Yes, that's just always like brimming on the edge of hope. I love hope. But really, like, God has so much for you in a season of suffering, and just the direction he's been leading me and my thoughts and readings lately and things I'm walking through, like, there's just so much beauty in suffering. And so I hope that through this series that I can help you lean into that. And today we're going to talk about two kind of typical ways that people might respond to a moment or a season of suffering. And one of those is to minimize what you're going through, and the other is to victimize yourself, or to see yourself as a victim for what you're going through. And I don't believe that either of those are healthy response. So we're going to talk through what is a healthy response? Where do you find yourself? What does that look like? And we are going to talk about how to get out of that. So let's do this. Get excited. Welcome to the Morning Mama Podcast, where it is time to wake up to the life you were created for. Come join me on a journey to heal from your past, craft a healthy, joy-filled life, and discover the gifts and passions inside of you that the world needs. Hi, I'm Brittany, a former marriage and family therapist who is ready to help you grab hold of your courage, step out in faith, and discover that your life can become more than you ever dreamed possible. This is Morning Mama, a place for you to throw off all that has been holding you back and run into true freedom. All right, Mama, so excited to help you kind of identify where you might be on this spectrum from minimizing to victimizing. And victimizing is probably the wrong word, because it's more like seeing yourself as a victim and being in a mindset as being a victim. And we're going to talk more about what that looks like. But before we dive in, I always want to just give a moment to invite you in to do a healing journey with me. I have an academy, the Healed Mama Academy, where I walk you through what it looks like to get some healing, to get some momentum, to get some understanding for where you're at, why you're feeling what you're feeling, why you're doing what you're doing, why you feel so stuck in the same old ways of coping. And maybe for you, it is stuck in a victim mindset and you don't know how to even see out of that. Or maybe for you, it's just constant minimizing where you are just always shoving down the feelings and just pretending like everything's okay. Like it's not even an authentic hope that you're clinging to. It's like a pretending. And both of those places are just going to lead you to more pain and to more suffering. And so I would love to help guide you through that. I utilize restoration theory to help you figure out what's going on. It is a 1 year long program. You don't have to do it for the whole year, but you have access to group coaching for an entire year, as well as a workbook to go through and video content where I help you figure out what in the world is going on inside of yourself and how to get out of those old patterns that you hate finding yourself in again and again, where you're yelling at your kids, where you're stuck in anxiety, where you just don't know how to see the good in what's happening around you. So come join me if you know you need some extra help. We all do, truly. But so if you know this is a season for that, for you specifically, come join me. You can find out all of the information at morningmama.co. That's morningmama.co. And I can't wait to see you over there. But we're going to dive into more about these mindsets that we might fall into. And I think all of us, we probably all veer kind of one way or the other. And this does go into our coping, which I talk about in restoration theory through the academy. We all have some typical ways that we cope with pain. And these are destructive ways. These aren't like the good kind of coping. And so I think, you know, most of us are going to fall most likely into one of these two categories, as well as some other things. But we might do both at some times, but might have a propensity one way or the other. And again, there's more mindsets than this, but these are kind of like two big ones I've seen myself fall into, I've seen other people fall into. And so I want to dive into it with you. So yeah, when we're talking about doing suffering well, so much of that is really where our heart is and where our mind is, because the suffering that we're walking through, like, there's not really a lot often that we can do to change it. Now, sometimes there is, and that's why, like, I have the academy, is to help you make some progress and gain some traction so that you're not suffering for no reason, right? Because if you do the healing work, there's so much that God restores from what's been broken and redeems it, but you got to do that healing work. So with that, sure, there is action you need to take, but a lot of the suffering we walk through, like sickness, crises, betrayal, whatever it is, there is some level of suffering that we cannot escape. And really, that kind of suffering is something we have to feel. We have to be able to walk through it and take it on to some extent. Now, you know, obviously Jesus is the one that takes the heavy burden, and, you know, we're going to dive more into that, but we do need to feel it. And so starting with this idea of minimizing, I think a lot of us can get stuck in this mindset of minimizing what we're going through, right? And it might sound like a few different things. It might sound like, it's not that bad. Like I really shouldn't complain about what's going on. People have it so much worse, right? Like people don't have food, people don't have houses, people don't have shoes. Like they have it so much worse. So I shouldn't even talk about the negative things that are going on. And you know, that's one thing. Yeah, I think I want to speak to each of these individually. And yeah, so starting there with that mindset, yeah, it is true. Like, and I think we talked about this in one of the last episodes, but yes, they have it worse in some senses. However, what you're walking through, the suffering that is inherent to you this season or this moment, is also real. And if you just try and shove it down, then not like one thing is it's going to pile up, right? It's like you got to shove it somewhere, right? So you shove it in the closet, you shove it under a rug, you shove it away, like, but it doesn't like go away, right? Because if you're not dealing with it, if you're not wading through it, it's going somewhere, right? And so this is like where our body can have physical manifestations of trauma and of, the stuff we're suffering that we're walking through. Words are hard today. I'm tired. I feel like I say that every podcast though, so maybe it's just the suffering of motherhood. I don't know. But right. So if you imagine like this feeling of pain that you have, like if you imagine it like a real entity, like a physical entity, and you're trying to just say like, oh, that thing that I'm holding, like imagine it is a, I don't know, a pumpkin. That's, I don't know. This is probably, okay, we're holding a pumpkin, right? And I don't know where I got that, but we got this pumpkin and that is the pain that is going on, right? And you look at the pumpkin in your hand and it's real, right? That pumpkin is it exists. It's orange. And I'm looking at my hand now. I can see the pumpkin. It's like the size of my hand and it's orange and it has a stem. And right, there's the crevices around it that like make it all pumpkin-y. And I look at that pumpkin and it's real, right? But then I look across the room, across the world, wherever it is. And I look at, oh man, that guy over there, he's got a giant pumpkin. Like that pumpkin is as big as his chest. Like the pumpkin in my hand, like this is so small compared to that pumpkin. Like, oh man, my pumpkin, it just must not be real. If his pumpkin looks that big and is that heavy, like what I have, it must not be worth looking at. It must not be real. I shouldn't even say anything about it because gosh, like look what he's carrying over there. Like that's a lot bigger. So then we take our pumpkin. And right, it's a real thing. The pain is real, the suffering is real, and we shove it somewhere, right? So we shove this pumpkin, we try and shove it in the garbage. But, you know, you can't just like take the garbage out unless you deal with it, right? So then it's just sitting there rotting. Or we shove it in a closet and it's sitting in there rotting. We shove it under the rug and it's sitting there rotting. And if it's under the rug, we're gonna trip over it. The closet's eventually gonna fill up. The trash can's gonna stink, right? So this pumpkin that we have, it might be smaller than other people's pumpkins, but it is real. We can't deny the existence of it because it's smaller. And so when we're saying that we're dealing with the pain and we're dealing with the suffering, we're not saying like, oh my gosh, my life is horrible. We're not saying like everything's going to end and this is awful and there's no way out. We're saying, no, what I'm going through, what this feels like, it is real. And I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to work through it, right? And so then we're going to, going with the analogy, we're going to like eat the pumpkin, right? We're going to process it through our bodies, or we're going to plant it and have it be processed in the ground in a healthy way, right? But in order to utilize it for something good, something beneficial, something helpful, we've got to take it apart, right? To eat it, we've got to take it apart. To plant it, we've got to take it apart. I don't know if you can actually plant a pumpkin. I guess you could like cook with it, right? But like, I just imagine like if you plant it in the ground, like would it produce more pumpkins? I mean, there's seeds in it. So I really hope you're laughing with me right now, because this is definitely a moment where you very much might be laughing at me. It's okay. I'm laughing at myself. So you go right ahead. Anyways, they got this pumpkin, right? So to actually deal with that pumpkin, you've got to take it apart, examine it, like spend time and energy cutting it into pieces. And if you're going to make pumpkin pie out of it, right, you've got to mush it up. I actually have no idea how to make pumpkin pie, but I imagine you take, you know, you got to take the junk out, the seeds out, right? Get all rid of all the yucky stuff, right? Which you know, going this with this analogy even further, it's all the lies that are there, right? These lies about like what this suffering means, that it means that I'm not good enough, or it means that I'm broken, or it means that my family's doomed or whatever, right? You're getting all the junk out. And you're throwing that away, right? We don't need that. We're getting rid of it. But then we're taking the pumpkin, the meat of the pumpkin, and we're doing something beautiful with it. And that's the other part, right? First of all, if we don't deal with it, it's going to be rotting somewhere. Secondly, if we don't actually deal with the suffering and the pain, no matter the size, then God's not going to be able to use it, right? If we're just trying to get rid of this pumpkin and we just toss it aside, it's, again, going to rot and smell and do nothing productive. But if we actually take it and clean it and chop it up and mush it up and use it, we can create a beautiful, amazing pumpkin pie. And it's something like so much even better than the original pumpkin, right? Like pumpkins are cute and great and like good to decorate with, but actually I don't really love pumpkin pie that much, but most people do. And so like we would much rather have a pumpkin pie than this pumpkin that you can't really do much with. And that's like how God takes our pain, is when we we give it back to him. We surrender it to him and we say, God, have your way. God, I'm going to feel this. I'm going to go through this. I'm going to look at this. I'm going to process this. He's going to take that and he's going to make it into something even more beautiful than when you started, right? And you, he's going to transform you into something more beautiful than it started and redeem every bit of pain, every tear from that pain. But we have to go through that process to get that result. And so those of you that fall into this minimizing, you've got to remember that pain that you have, regardless of the size, is real. And you think too, like, think about it. Like, if you shove a pumpkin, regardless of the size, in a closet and you leave it there, the smell is going to be horrendous no matter the size. Like, maybe a giant one might smell a little bit more, but I feel like they're going to be about equal. It's going to be awful. And so that's the same thing that happens, is the bigger, the smaller, it doesn't matter. Like, it's going to rot and stink in our lives and show up in a myriad of ways in our lives if we're not actually dealing with it, right? Some other things that minimizing might sound like is, I'm just weak, right? Like, I shouldn't even feel like this is a big deal because I should just be stronger. It's really not a big deal. This is just saying that I'm weak. If I recognize this as pain, as suffering, it just means that I'm weak. No, right? It's a real pumpkin. We've got to feel the pain. And actually, I really believe that, like, looking at the pain and feeling it and even naming it as suffering or as pain is going to help us be stronger. Like, it takes a courage to look at something and say, wow, that actually hurt me, right? Because it's so much easier for many of us to say, that's not a big deal. That didn't really hurt me when you said those words. It wasn't that big of a deal when you did that thing, right? It wasn't, you know, maybe there's gossip going around and you heard gossip about you and you say, oh, it's not that big of a deal that they're gossiping. I don't really care, right? And, you know, maybe at some level you're trying to not, like, let it take root in you and produce something, but you probably did feel some pain. And so truly, to work through that at a healthy level and grow stronger from it, you need to first recognize, ooh, that actually really hurts that they were talking behind my back. And it hurts that my friend would do that. And it hurts that people continued that. And that's really painful. And you sit in that. And you don't stay there. We don't stay there. No, no, no. We got to make the pumpkin pie. But we have to go through that to get to the beauty. And so we've got to feel that pain. Some other things that minimizing might sound like is, you know, I just want this to be over, right? Like, it's this, maybe this is for kind of the bigger moments in your life, those bigger crises, the sickness, the betrayal, the death, the trauma. And it's so painful and so overwhelming. And maybe you let yourself feel it for a second, but then you're like, okay, great, we're done. Like, I looked at it, I felt it, we're gonna move on, cool. And you wipe your hands clean. But, like, that pumpkin was really big. And so maybe you took a bite out of it and you took a slice out and you started to process that and God started to redeem that. And maybe you made some, like, pumpkin hummus. Do they make pumpkin hummus? I don't know. I feel like that'd be good. But the rest of the pumpkin, this giant pumpkin, is still sitting over there. And you don't want it to be there so badly because it feels so big and exhausting and overwhelming, and you just want it to be done. And so you ignore it. And because maybe you took a step, you're saying, like, I'm done. I'm good. Like, we're moving on. Let's look at the good. Look, God made pumpkin hummus out of this. Like, this is amazing. Look at this beautiful thing. But you're starting to have this rotting pumpkin over in the corner because you're not dealing with the fullness of it. You're not looking at it. And I get that. Like, it can be so heavy and so overwhelming. And those seasons where there is something bigger, it isn't just a moment, you know, it's not even just a week or even a month. And, you know, it depends on what you're walking through. Maybe it's not even just a year, right? Like, maybe it's a decade, maybe it's multiple decades. Maybe it's a long season of suffering, which, by the way, if you are in a season of suffering, I recently heard about this book that has been out for a long time, but when we're talking about suffering, it's so, so relevant. So if you're in the season of suffering, I highly recommend going and looking up Lisa Turkhurst, and I'm sure as many of you have already read it, but it's called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. I think something like that. It's not supposed to be that way, this way, something like that. So great. And she talks in that book about long suffering, being in a season of suffering where it doesn't stop. It's, again, not just that day or that week or that month, but it continues on and on. And those are the hardest, because what that looks like is like, okay, there's the pumpkin, and you take some out, you know, a manageable bite, and you process it, and God redeems it. And then you're like, okay, look at this beautiful thing God made. And then you're like, whoa, oh, that pain is still here. Oh, there's still more to process. Oh, there's more pumpkin I've got to deal with. And you go back and you get some more pumpkin, and you got to process through that. And then you got to mix it into something beautiful. And all this time he's combining all of this into something amazing and even more beautiful than just the original hummus. But I hope you guys are following this analogy. But it's this back and forth game of going and looking at the pain and feeling the pain and processing through it and allowing God to redeem it and seeing the hope and seeing the beauty. But then there's more, and it's this back and forth, or maybe sometimes it's just sitting in the heaviness, sitting in that pain. And it's a while until you can see the hope. It's a while until you can see that redemption. But the thing is, we just can't decide when it's over. You know, sometimes we want to put up, or at least I sometimes want to, whatever I'm walking through, want to like just make this like end date. I'm like, okay, great. This is going to feel better on this date, because, you know, it makes sense, because, like, you know, it's officially switching from spring to summer, which would make sense. Like, this would be a good time for this all to be over. Or, you know, you know, these prayers you've been praying for so long, and you haven't seen God move in the way that you're wanting. And you create these kind of just expectations or false dates of like when things are going to shift. And I don't know if any of you do that as well, but sometimes I do that when I've been praying for something for a long time, and it doesn't work that way. You know, we don't get to decide when those things are over, and God might give us a date of like, or when those things are transitioning, but we don't get to make that up. And so that's another way that we minimize is just kind of minimizing the size of what we're walking through and just wanting to get out before we're done processing it. And, you know, another thing that we, you know, especially as Christians can do sometimes is we can just like slap a Christian slogan, or maybe it's even a verse, or just some kind of like kitschy, cliche Christian saying to try and make us feel better. And even to pretend like things are okay. Like, you know, oh yeah, it's hard, but God is good, right? And okay, now don't hear me wrong. Like, it's okay to say that. Like, it's okay to declare over our seasons, and we need to actually declare over our seasons of suffering that God is good even in the midst of it. But that doesn't mean that we don't talk about it. It doesn't mean that we don't feel it. That doesn't mean we don't look at the pain. We can't just jump to God is good. Yes, he is good in every single moment, every single season, no matter what you're facing. However, to even declare the goodness of him, we have to look at the rubble, right? He's so good, and you can see his fingerprints and everything. And actually, when we look at the pain and we look at the suffering, we can even see more clearly the goodness of God through it, because we see how he redeems it. We see how he leads us through it. And if we just pretend like it's not there, we're actually minimizing not just the pain, but what God is doing in our lives and what God can lead us through, how God can take the very worst things and turn them into the very best things. And so sometimes I think we can fall into this trap of just, you know, slapping this bumper sticker on this situation of like, I'm trying to think of some other ones people might say, like, you know, I can't think of other ones, but I think, you know, like go look for some bumper stickers. You'll find some sayings that people often just slap over problems and seasons of suffering, and they don't actually feel what's going on. And some of those sayings, they might have truth in them, right? Like, God is good. That is good to say. That is true. But in order to really mean that, we've got to look at it. And if we don't look at it, we're hurting ourselves, and we're minimizing the impact that God can have on all of this. You know, because really, like, when we're suffering, like, what we're doing is we're suffering with Christ. And I know that's like a heavy concept, but you know, that's something I've really kind of been, you know, God's been speaking to me through different things. One of the big things is that book that I shared with you a few weeks ago, Madame Guyon. I don't know if that's how you say her name. I think it's called Intimacy with Christ. And I shared a quote with you from that book. And there's so many passages in there about her suffering with Christ and dying to yourself. And so that's like the beautiful thing that happens is when we embrace the suffering. Now, again, caveat, like we don't embrace it to the point of we just stay there and we're just in suffering forever and we never move out of that and we just only see things through a lens of suffering. No, but we let it in. We let the suffering in. We let the pain in. We let the things we need to process in. And in that moment, in that process, we're actually sharing in the suffering of Christ. When he went to the cross for us and he died for our sins. And when we walk through those seasons, we're actually going to share in that and therefore share in the glory that he created through that. And so it sounds like so heavy and weird, but it's one of the most beautiful things that happens. But if we don't allow ourselves to suffer, if we don't allow ourselves to feel it, we're not going to be united with Christ in that moment, right? Like that's what the book is called, Intimacy with Christ. Like that intimacy with Christ is born through walking through suffering hand in hand with Christ and knowing that you cannot take another step forward if you are not clinging to his hand. You cannot keep going. You cannot keep breathing if his breath is not in your lungs. And there's nothing that's going to bind you closer to Jesus than doing a season of suffering like that. But if you're just minimizing and you're just shoving it aside and you're just pretending like it's not there, then really what you're doing is you're just actually in a way, and this sounds kind of weird, but you're kind of in a place of pride even, where you're like, no, I'm strong enough. No, it's not a big deal, right? Like you're saying, I've got this. Myself has got this. I'm good, right? But if we were to really let that pain in, we would have to trust that God is not going to let us stay there, that God is not going to allow the pain to overtake us. And so it goes to a lack of trust as well, that we're not trusting that God can be in this with us, that he can see us through this, that this is not the end of it. You know, just some encouragement to end with as we're talking about someone that is struggling with minimizing. And we're going to get to the victimizer in the next episode or the victimizing, not victimizer. Getting stuck in a mentality, a victim mindset. We'll do that in the next episode. But, you know, I want to talk about minimizing. So if you struggle with this, if this is you and you're like, yep, my hand's raised, like I got my pumpkin rotting over there and I don't know what to do about it. Well, here is what you need to do. So first of all, let it out to God, right? So we're talking about building this intimacy with Christ and that we have to be in the suffering with him. And so it starts with going to God and you got to sit with him. And whatever this needs to look like for you, this can look like so many different things. Maybe you're walking on the beach and you're crying out to him. Maybe it's at night, be safe, but you're just screaming out to God. And maybe it's in the car. And you're all alone and you're just crying and screaming or feeling it. Maybe it's not, maybe you're not even like a big crier or maybe you don't scream, but you're just like sitting in it and you feel it in your gut, the heaviness. Maybe it is writing in a journal. Maybe it is putting on some worship music and like letting yourself just cry to it and cry out to God and praise him, but praise him through the pain. Whatever it looks like, you've got to begin with letting it all out to God. You know, one of the things that's been, I've heard a couple people talk about recently is David's Psalms. And if you go and read the Psalms, you'll see in almost all of them, there's this pattern that David has. David wrote most of the Psalms. And he has this pattern where he begins by just authentically, unfiltered crying out to God. And he says, God, how can this be happening? This is all horrible. I can't believe this. This is awful. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I can't believe this. I feel awful. I'm going to die. I'm going to go down to the pit. How am I going to get through this? Right? Like there is no filter, right? He's not just saying like, this is hard, God, but you're good, right? Like, he's not jumping there so fast. He's feeling the pain. He's crying out to God in the pain. He's letting God into the pain. And he lets it out. And a lot of times, the majority of the psalm is that way. But then he always, in the end, turns it around and says, but God, you're good. But God, you're faithful. God, I know you'll see me through this, right? And so even if it's just a line, a verse, like, he ends it with that. And so we do want to get to that place, right? I'm not telling you to sit in that pain forever. We've got to then wade through it and get to a place where we're like, okay, God, yeah, I see how you're working. God, I praise you even when it hurts. I know that you're good even when I don't see where you're working. So we want to get there, but we've got to start, and this is where some of you are missing it. We've got to start with the crying out. Got to start with the bearing our souls to God. He already knows what you're feeling. He already knows what you're shoving down. He's seen that rotting pumpkin miles and miles away. Also, with this analogy, you know, I think I got to look this up, but I think a rotting pumpkin is really great fertilizer. So maybe it's not time for the pumpkin pie anymore, but maybe he's going to grow a beautiful garden from that rotting pumpkin. It is never too late for God to redeem something. You know, I also want to say here, as we're talking about crying out to God, we need to do this. But I also want to say, if there's some big trauma that you have never dealt with, you're going to also need to do some crying out with someone that can really support you in this. Probably a therapist that's one-on-one, a Christian therapist. And I talked about that a lot in the last episode. So go listen to that so you can find the right person. But like, you're going to need some support in that if it's something you've been suppressing for decades. That's not really something you can do alone. Now, the power of God, he can do anything, absolutely, but if you're opening boxes that have not been opened, you're going to need someone there with you. And so make sure you're doing that. And for all of you, whether it's those big boxes of trauma, or again, the small pumpkin, I'm mixing analogies here, it's fine. But like, you know, we start with God, and then we go to the other episode we talked about. You have to find some people, and you need to invite them in to the pain. You need to share with them openly what it feels like, what you're going through, where your thoughts are at. And you need to let them be with you in that. You need to let them sit with you and cry with you and pray with you and feel with you. And you've got to be real. And I know that's hard to let people into that space, but there is nothing more powerful. So make sure you're doing that. And another thing that they can help you with, if you invite people into that space, if you're, you know, like David, but you're struggling with the end part where you're like, okay, I feel the pain, but I don't know how to get to the good. I don't know how to not take on some unhealthy mindsets in the midst of this pain, then those people, and we're going to talk in the next episode, hopefully next episode, we're going to talk soon about making sure you invite the right people into your story. These need to be people that are going to lift you up and encourage you and challenge you, and not just, you know, point fingers at the people in your life or cause you to doubt God or whatever it is. You need the right kind of people. But those right kind of people can help point out maybe an unhealthy perspective that has come from the pain, maybe because your pumpkin has been rotting and it's created some lies and you're having to deal with those. And that healthy person can help pinpoint that, but you've got to share it with people in order to get that outside perspective. And I want to say we all need that. Everyone has blind spots. Everyone gets things distorted in our minds because it's like, so right, we just live in our own little bubble. And so we have to invite others into that to make sure that our minds and our hearts are in the right place. So we're going to talk more about this in the next episode when we talk about getting into a victim mindset. We're going to talk about inviting those right people into our life. But let me just pray for those of you that are struggling with pushing things down and minimizing and avoiding things. And just invite God into this. God, I just thank you. Oh, God, that you are so big, God, that no matter what we're walking through, whether it's a small moment of suffering, God, or a long, long season of suffering, God, you are bigger than it all, God. And being bigger than it all means that you're going to take the very worst things and redeem them. But God, I just pray for everyone that's scared to look at it, that has been avoiding it, that doesn't want to touch it. God, I pray you would give her courage, God, to go there. and to look at it and to wade through it and to feel it. And I pray you'd be so close to her and to help her know that she's not alone and that she's not going to be lost in the pain, God, because you're going to be right there with her. You promised to never leave her or forsake her. And I just pray, God, you would comfort her. I pray you'd give her courage. I pray you would help her keep going even when she doesn't feel like she can keep going, God. And I just pray you would pull her out of that pit of despair, God, and set her feet upon a rock. God, I pray you would redeem the darkest moments, God, and bring them into something so beautiful beyond what she can ever ask or imagine, God. God, just help her to see where she's minimizing. Help her to see where she's struggling with avoidance, God. And I pray you would just bring light into those situations, God, and give her the courage to wade through it, God. Thank you, God, that we can trust you in that space. God, you're so good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, Mama.
If you found hope and inspiration in today's episode, then hit subscribe. Make sure you don't miss a moment on this journey of healing. Want to help more mamas enter into the hope and freedom you have found? Please take a moment to leave a review. This helps so much to get Morning Mama seen so that more mamas can find this space. Lastly, please come say hi in our Facebook group, Morning Mama Collective. I would love to meet you and learn your story. Let me know where you're getting stuck in your healing journey so that you can help inspire more episodes. I am so grateful for you, Mama, and I cannot wait to see all that God has in store for you.